The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
On the line now, we're joined by Father Brian Darcy. Father Brian, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
You can hear me clearly there.
Yes, I can. Indeed. Okay. I hope you can hear me.
I can indeed. What sort of a weekend did you have yourself?
The usual, John, busy. You know, as I said, the weekend's a kind of a heavy time for us, and it's good. Thanks be to God. Still a lot of people coming to church and still a lot of people needing our services. And that's the way the weekend was. And got in a football match, and as well as a couple of funerals and baptisms, several masses and hospital visits, the usual.
Another ordinary weekend of the life of a priest.
Another ordinary week, exactly.
You've had a bad run of ill health. Reading this morning's Irish Independent, Father Brian.
I haven't seen the Independent. I wasn't speaking to the Independent, but I was talking to the Belfast Telegraph last week, so I presume it's the same story, all right. It's not something I wish that, you know, I'm not crowing it from the housetops or anything like that. But then again, it's the way it is. And yes, I've had a bad run of it. But then as a man who spends most of his life in hospitals or most evenings in hospitals visiting sick, I also am able to put it into perspective. And, you know, I'm fine. I'm able to be around now. There's a lot of people who are a lot worse than I am. Thankfully, I'm not at that stage yet, and hopefully maybe not be it. But yes, old age is creeping up on me. I've had a bad run of it. I've had stents in my heart. I've had knees and all sorts of things.
Sure, exactly. You've had the 3 stents put in.
Yes.
And you've had gallbladder and thyroid problems, and it's culminated with the diagnosis, the prostate cancer diagnosis.
Yes, the one that you don't want to hear. And I suppose because I was having difficulties with other ends of the health, they were doing kind of general tests and keep looking after me well in the National Health Service here in Northern Ireland. And they picked up that there was something quite wrong with the prostate, and they felt that it wasn't cancerous, but it could be if I didn't look after it. So they did the operation, which itself was, in my case, was difficult. Normally, it's not, but it just went wrong with me, and had a bad time with it earlier this year. But subsequent to that, they discovered in the post-op analysis that there was there had been cancer in it, and therefore they have to take a lot of. It was a shock to them, as it too. They didn't expect that, and certainly a shock to me because it was post-operative. I discovered it,
sure.
But they're treating it on an ongoing basis, and you know, I'm leading a normal life now, thank God.
But how bad?
A lot less pain than I used to be.
Sure. How bad a time did you go through?
Well, before the operation and immediately after it, I went through an extremely bad time, but that was nothing to do with the cancer. That was just, you know, sometimes because of the medication I was on for the heart, etc., they had a lot of difficulties, and indeed I had cardiac problems during the operation, which added a great deal to the complications afterwards. And it was complicated afterwards and for me, very painful, I have got to say. At that stage, there was supposed to be no cancer involved, but it was about 3 weeks afterwards in post-op analysis they discovered that there had been cancer involved, and that was a bigger fright to all of us. So I'm, you know, they've given preventative treatment and also are going ongoing biopsies, and I suppose I'll have them for as long as I'm around to make sure that it doesn't spread. I'm fine if it doesn't spread now, but of course it's a kind of cancer that usually is very curable, but if it spreads, it can be difficult. So they'll have to make sure, and I'll have to make sure that we look after it properly. But that doesn't mean stopping living. You know, you go on living because you now become more aware that every day is a great gift to you. So that's the way I take it. It's been a good warning to me. It's been something that I wouldn't have chosen to have. But at the same time, look, you know, you can have a more empathetic view of life with people who are suffering now, and that's it adds to the kind of pastoral role that I have, not only for others, but also I realise myself, you know, that I'm not some sort of super person here that never gets anything. I am, and I walk the same road as everybody else. And that gives me a great sense of humility, and necessary humility in my job, which is a very good thing to have.
Not only empathise
that you walk along with, and that you know that any of us, no matter what our role is, we're human. And, you know, that brokenness and sickness and not being well is part of the human journey. And there's no such thing as somebody who is always right about everything, who's always perfect health, who's, you know, there's no glamour thing at all. You have to realise that you're a human being trying to struggle with humanity the same as everybody else. And that brokenness is a gift in itself.
Mm. And have you had to slow down? You mentioned your busy weekend there, but given the health scare you've had and the treatments you're getting for the prostate cancer, have you had to slow down and change your schedule?
I've had, because if it is nothing else, only for the having to go to hospitals and be in hospitals and appointments, yes. The other thing is that one of my biggest side effects is that I get extraordinary bouts of tiredness almost without warning, and I have to be very careful of those. You know, that you don't push beyond that. I've learned through the years that, you know, if your body says you're tired, well, stop. You know, even if it's only a half an hour's lie down at a time of the day when I used to have to do those things, and that's what I do. I try to respect what the body is telling me. For many years, I probably didn't. I worked night and day and travelled 50,000 miles a year for up and down the country doing various things. And so, you know, you begin to say to yourself, well, you know, that you can't do that anymore. You know, I'd reduced my miles to about somewhere around 40,000 now a year, I went off broadcasting with the BBC for a little while, and I've resumed that again. And you know, you adjust your lifestyle to what is right, and know that somewhere in all of that there's a calling from God too to recognize that, you know, activity is part of your life and part of God's will for you, but so is passivity, and rest is also part of your life, and you begin to get a more holistic view of things. And that's what it has done for me anyway, John. I know other people may look at it differently, but I just take it as another gift to slow down and live a different kind of life and not get so concerned about other things.
Has it made you more aware of your mortality?
It certainly has, yes. But in my family, that would be true anyway, because the men in our family tend to not go on forever, and it's usually a cardiac thing. So I have been aware of that for a while, let's put it this way, John. I used to know what a perfect act of contrition was, but suddenly I discovered one. When I'm going to bed at night, I try to make my peace with God in case I don't wake. So in case I wake up in a foreign country.
I
pray a lot more than I used to, let's put it that way.
Yes, because of this scare.
I suppose, John, the thing with the Vatican didn't help me in any way, but maybe it did help me to recognise that I had to if you're not listening to God in all of in severe crisis, and I probably wasn't sure that I was, so I had to be sure that I was, especially when, you know, if there's a great authority telling you you're wrong, you're a heretic, you have to be fairly certain that you're right within yourself if you're to keep on doing what you're doing. And I had to take stock and slow and pray a lot more and lead a lot more, spend a lot more time taking nice walks early in the morning, as I've already done this morning, try to get a chance to listen. I don't ask for much from God anymore. I try to listen. And that's a very hard form of prayer, believe you me. Any of us can rattle stuff, but it's very difficult to listen. But listening is the key.
Do you mentioned the stress because of your row with the Vatican, or their row with you. Do you think that contributed to your illness?
I wouldn't have much doubt about that, John. I know it. You know, the BBC did that famous documentary on me, and during that time, I began to see myself as others see me, as it were. You know, I looked at me, and I looked at the programme, and I really, really got a scare, because I knew that I wasn't myself. I knew that I had lost the kind of joy of life. I knew that it was, you know, that I wasn't in good health, and that I knew probably also that I wasn't caring for myself the way it was. So it was an extremely big wake up call, and a lot of things have started to go wrong immediately after that. And when I went to get myself looked at and seen to, as I should have done maybe a year earlier than I did, I recognised then that, you know, severe stress, and that was severe stress, and to some extent still is, does have an effect on you. And you can either become a victim of stress, or you can manage stress. And, you know, there is no choice other than to manage it.
Mm. Does that mean, Father Brian, that life is a little bit less joyful for you?
Not now. It was for about 4 years, John. Yes. I mean, it was. I was trying my best not to be somebody who was a carrier of pessimism, because that's not a very good role for especially somebody in my position as a clergyman or a communicator. But you can't, you have to be very aware that you can't, you know, dump your woes on other people, or just dump, you know, just become a person who every time somebody looks at you and sees you, they become aware of pessimism and misery. So I probably didn't handle that well in the beginning, but I'm handling it now. And honestly, I don't think I've been happier within myself at the present time. And I'm not as dependent on people outside myself to make me happy. I'm trying to find a peace and a restfulness and a kind of quietude within myself, because it is my responsibility to find that. And I think that's much more important than you know, allowing yourself to be at the whim of every individual. That's not a good way. But you know, it's part of. I was abused as a young guy on a number of occasions. And to be honest with you, I've learned very, very much from counselling to cope with that. That one of the side effects of that is that you tend to be a people pleaser if you're not careful, and that can have an enormous effect and draining effect on your life. So I've had really to look at that as best I could and try to handle it as best I could. I'm not saying I'm doing it well, but I'm certainly doing it better than I used to.
And the prostate cancer itself, you go in for regular biopsies, but at the moment, would you describe it as under control? And are there other treatments that you've been trying in order to deal with it?
No, I'm one of my virtues is that I actually do what doctors tell me. I always have, strangely enough, because I've always believed that if somebody comes to me and I sort of give advice or make suggestions, well, you know, I understand if people do it, but I don't have much respect for people who come and when you tell them or advise them or point them in a direction, don't listen. So I'm the same when I go to a doctor. I listen to him. He's the expert. He's God's will for me in the medical theme. So I do exactly what he says, or she says, as the case may be. And I try to live out as best I can what they tell me. And I do that. And they will all tell me that, you know, as patients go, I'm pretty good as a patient because I do what I'm told. And so that's what I leave it in their hands. I go for them. I go another one at the end of August now for a test for that. And whatever that tells me, I'll take. And if they tell me you're fine for the next 3 months, then I'll go hammer and tongs for the next 3 months until they call me back.
Right. And is there daily pain? Do you endure daily pain?
Not now. I did for a while. Thank you to God now. It's not too bad at all. No, I don't. I couldn't say that there is now. I mean, there was certainly around the time before it was very painful, and immediately afterward it was extremely painful. But that wasn't to do with prostate cancer, and I wouldn't want to frighten anybody with prostate cancer. That wasn't because of the other medications that I had been on that caused the complication, and also because of cardiac problems. So that was it was. You know, the prostate cancer thing itself is something, get it checked, get it seen to, don't neglect it, because the earlier it's got, the better it is. And that's not me preaching, that's what doctors are telling me. Then when doctors say to that, would you for heaven's sake, you know, not drift on with this, get regular checks, and we can handle it if we get regular checks, but we have to depend on you to cooperate with that. So that's my bit. I cooperate with that as best I can. Their bit is to direct me how to go to the next bit. And it's fine. You know, it's little more than an inconvenience at the moment. I wouldn't want to be a martyr and say that it's been, and I don't particularly like talking about it, which is why I haven't spoken about it, other than to say, yes, it's there, and that's it.
And as an encouragement to other men, as you say, who might be a little bit reluctant about going to the doctor, that they should be going for their checks too.
Absolutely. That's the one thing I think everybody has to recognise. There comes a stage in life when that's what doctors are for, and we're very lucky to have a medical system which allows us to do that.
Plenty of good wishes in from our listeners. Eilish in Athlone says, prayerful good wishes to Father Brian and a complete recovery to perfect health. And Margaret says, Father Brian, a very kindly man, needs to be kind and gentle to himself now. Who is looking out for him, she asks. And by the way, who is looking out for you? Who is... helping you through
probably this. 90% of the population are from Anna, for a start, and everybody else. People are extraordinarily good. I mean, I don't deserve the goodness I get at all, but you know, a lot of, and of course my family are always terrific, and the people who work with me here in the Gran are just little saints, absolutely every one of them. But you know, we've all come to a conclusion, was, you know, there's no cotton wool for Brian. Just let him get on with it, and let everybody else get on with it too.
Well, Father Brian, thank you for joining us this morning. Good luck in good luck in your battle, to stay well, and we hope those regular appointments don't throw up anything unexpected. But take good care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
And thank you, John. I appreciate very much your kind words, which I know are genuine. God bless you.
Thank you.